Before we get into the Word, I wanted to give you an update on what we did last Sunday. We talked about the hunger condition that's in parts of the nation and an organization that we found that would partner with us to help get food into the hands and the bellies of hungry people. And so we partnered with civil society organization Scaling Up Nutrition, CSO Sun. And so we during the offering, and then many of you came during the week, the offering was $83,300. Well done. Fantastic. And so from our community outreach budget, we topped it up to $125,000. And so that, yeah, awesome. Wonderful. So what that means is that, just throw a picture up there of what that community, there's the, where we're going to be giving that, those funds to. And so that means 500 families of 8 people get to eat for a month. 500 families of 8 people get to eat for a month. All right. The other amazing thing is our outreach director sent me an email this week to say that the director at CSO Sun was getting multiple inquiries, calls, emails from people at Miracle Life to say, how can we help going forward? So to all of you who are harassing them, keep on doing that. That is fantastic. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? And I know we're going to talk about our you know, building project and where we are. And so there are funds that needed there. Well, why don't we just take all those funds and put it in the building? Well, here's the thing. I don't believe there's a lot of life that it's not either or, it's and. We can do both at the same time because God is a good God. Amen. All right. So as Pastor Sombo mentioned, we're going to take next few weeks to kind of stir our hearts again as to why we're building these buildings and how God is going to use us. And he stirred our hearts wonderfully, wonderfully 15, 14 months ago as we were in VAMS and as we talked about and people pledged. And a lot of people have done some amazing, amazing work and the whole campus is being transformed. But we want to just take some time kind of at the end of this year as we look at our finances this year and as also we think about 2020 as well. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. This is the story and really it's the beginning of the walk, the journey that the children of Israel had from Egypt to Canaan land. And so we're going to be talking about for our journey as a church and the next phase of what God has for us to do is that we're going to be pressing on, finishing strong, pressing on, finishing strong. And sadly, it's what the children of Israel did and not. They didn't do it. All right. They didn't do it. But the Bible says they are examples to us. All right. Not examples of faith and persistence. But we can, sadly, we can learn from their mistakes. All right. So Exodus 14, Passover has happened. All right. The firstborn of all the Egyptians have been killed. And in the camp of Israel, because God gave them the opportunity to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, it was not because they were good people. It wasn't because of their holiness that the death angel passed over. The death angel passed over because of the blood. The blood was applied to the house and judgment was spared. And so now they are leaving. They're leaving. And so if you know this account, Pharaoh changes his mind. And so the Egyptian army is chasing them. All right. So Exodus 14, verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? You know, it's amazing the response that the children of Israel had when the pressure was on. Ooh, they said the wrong things. They believed the wrong things consistently over and over again. Sadly, All right. So they make this assumption. We're going to die. Why did you do this to us? Is not, verse 12, is not the word that we told you in Egypt saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. We want to be slaves. We want to stay where we are. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Oh, what a sad statement, hey? I'd rather be free for a day and die in the wilderness, personally, all right? Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Ooh, I love that line. Moses got his prophecy on. Yep. He is Prophet Moses right here. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now, here's what we know. God had no intention for the children of Israel to die as they left. He had no intention for them to die on that side of the Red Sea or the other side of the Red Sea or anywhere along the way. He had every intention of taking them out so that he could bring them in. That was the express word, and it was what God had stated that he wanted to do. All right. So he was taking them somewhere very specifically. All right. But really, from day one, the children of Israel had a hard time of keeping their gearbox in drive forward. And they really had a hard time of looking out the windscreen. All right. They kept putting the gearbox into neutral, into reverse. Beep, 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 beep. Right. And instead of looking out the windscreen, they kept looking out the mirror of the back. It would have been better off. Oh, do you remember the onions back there? Okay. Those must have been onions just aren't that good. Okay. So they had a hard time going forward. And that's what God wants us to do as a church, is thank God for all the things he has done. And they are miraculous and they are outstanding. But he has a wonderful destiny ahead of us. And we are the generation right now during this time as the buildings are going. If he chose us to do that. All right. And in 10 years, there'll be another generation here at this church, in 20 and 30, 40 years, and they will have other big, big assignments from God. And this is our assignment right now, is to go forward. All right. So we have started and we're glad that we started. So buildings are coming up. People are giving. We had an amazing amount of people or family units that pledged to this campaign. 1,286. That is outstanding. That is phenomenal. All right. And so 1,286 people said, or families put up their hand and said, we want to do something. We want to help. All right. And 10% of that group have completely given what God put in their heart to do. That's outstanding. 125. All right. So thank you to those of you. Now, God enabled us and helped my wife and I. So we're a part of that 125. All right. And as we go forward, what this is going to mean is that, let me do my math, 1,131 of us are going to have to say, I'm joining that number. I'm joining the 125. And that 125 is going to become 200, 300, 500, 600, 1,000. All right. And so we're going to be talking about, Lord, give us the help, the grace, stir our hearts so that we can be part of that group that's going to simply just do what God put in our heart to do. All right. Now, there's some other amazing things that have happened along the way of where we are in this journey, 14 months into the campaign. Impact Youth. All right. Impact Youth and the children, they also pledged, and their pledge is over 500,000 kwacha. So, I mean, this is not play money. All right. That pays bills. All right. That buys stuff, all right? So they've pledged 500,000 combined, both Impact Youth and M-Kids. Impact Youth has given cash 77% of their pledge. Yeah, 77%, all right? The kids, M kids, have given 53% of their pledge. All right. So they are over half. Amazing. And we hear stories of kids crying, kids telling, give me chores. That's awesome. So youth are at 77. Kids are at 53. Adults, that's most of us here, we are at 29%. 29%. One of the things that people tell my wife and I a lot, Pastor Haley and I a lot at Miracle Life, is they say, thank you. Thank you for the transparency when it comes to money. Thank you. Well, guess what? You just got transparency. Okay. The cold, hard facts. Now, the awesome thing is that number can change. That number is going to change. All right. Now, so the children of Israel have started. They have left. They packed up. They're on their way to the promised land, but they're struggling on the way there. So notice Moses' exhortation. Next verse, verse 15, Exodus 14, 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry? The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. What was heaven's commission? Get it in drive. Put it in gear 5. Go forward. Your graves are not in Egypt. Your future is not in Egypt. I took you out by my strong hand. The Exodus was the defining moment of the entire nation forever. All right. And everything I want to do, you have to go forward. Now, notice this. All right. You tell the children of Israel to go forward. Well, God, we just want you to beam us up and beam us over. God, you take us over. No. You have to walk. Now, is there provision? Is there grace? Is there protection? Is there fire by night and a cloud by day? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Is God with them for certain? Could they have done it on their own? Absolutely not. So God plays a magnificent, huge part in this. All right. But what's their part and our part? Go forward. You've got to keep your steps moving in faith. All right. But, and he told Moses this, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Whew, that's kind of bold talk from God. Moses, you divide it. Well, I've never really done that before. Obviously, God's going to help him. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Tell your neighbor, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Now, we want this also to affect other areas of your life, that whatever you are doing in life, whether it's professionally or in your family, and if God has brought you to a certain place, thank God, but you need to move forward. You cannot stay where you are. You can't stay where you are. We will finish strong in Jesus' name. We'll finish strong in Jesus' name. All right. It is not about starting a race. It's about finishing a race. I realize a bunch of Miracle Life people yesterday were in a race. Anybody? How many Ks was it? 21 Ks. Yeah. And you posted, right? You didn't post at the start. Getting ready to run, because people are like, who cares if you're getting ready to run? You didn't post halfway, right? Where did you post? At the finish line. At the finish line. I finished. All right. And a bunch of other people finished as well. Okay. So thank God we've got to start. You got to make it halfway. You got to go up and down the hills. But where are we headed? We're headed for the finish line. The finish line. Put that little, can you find that little guy again, the runner? Or the pack of runners. Can you find that on the screen? So we're running. Hallelujah. Thank God we're not at the starting line. We're not where we were. Don't worry. Don't do it. Oh, there we are. Okay. So we're running. Oh, you can't make them go faster, can you? All right. They're just doing what they're doing. Next one. Yep. Okay. So thank God we finished. But where's the end? The end is down there, right? So our eye is on the prize. Our eye is at the end of the road. Thank you so much. OK, so why are we doing this? Is it just to pay bills? All right. Is it just so that we can be current with the contractor? And thank God we are. We're current with everybody that we're paying. Isn't that an amazing testimony for a church? We pay our bills on time. All right. So, but why are we doing this? We're doing this because God has a plan to reach generations in our nation. And he has tasked us. He has favored us. And so the number of kids, the number of youth, the number of young people, the number of people that Rhema is attracting to help leaders be raised up in the word of God and in skill and in character and in anointing. God's hand is here, and we simply can't do it where we are right now. And so if we look back, how many of you were with us in the Oasis? You were part of the family in the Oasis building. OK, pretty cool building, wasn't it? All right. Pretty nice. Great location. You could come to church and do your shopping right after church and just go to arcades. All right. So there were many, many great, great things that happened there. But had we stayed there, and, you know, there were, that was a suggestion multiple times in different meetings. Well, pastors, let's just stay here. I mean, it's good. It's nice. There's nowhere to park, but it's nice. OK, so anyway, that certainly was an option. And we looked at that and considered that. All right. But my goodness, if we think about what if we would have stayed there? What if we would have stayed there? All of the Easter productions, forget about it. They would have never happened. Oh, yeah, that's the old building. Right. There we are. Because people matter. Aren't you glad people still matter to Jesus? Matter to us. All right. And so four services. But things like all the activities that are able to happen here. Pastor Haley and I, she had a late Rhema class a couple weeks ago. And we were leaving at, I don't know, about 20 hours, something like that. And we were leaving on a Wednesday night. And this at 20 hours, this campus was packed full of people. It was crazy. So there are a few rooms of Changes That Heal. There were Alpha, about, what, 70, 80 folks in Alpha that were all over the place. The evening classes of Rhema, premarital, hallelujah. Premarital is better than postmarital, all right. Get your wisdom now, all right. And so all these things and this whole part of the car park was just packed. And that would not have happened at the Oasis. It would not have happened. So something we would have had to tell all the people from Alpha. I'm sorry, because Hindus come and Buddhists come and people seeking God. No. You just hold your thoughts and questions about God and eternity. And we'll get to you in a couple years here. So all of these kinds of things that are happening here, because 10 years ago, a generation said at Miracle Life, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to make something for our future. If you think about all the children and the youth that we have now, it was comical. It was probably illegal what we were doing in the old building with children and youth. I mean, it was crazy how packed it was. All right. And so we built here. All right. And now, again, we've filled those up to overflow. And so it's simply time to go again. And things like we said with Alpha and with Rhema, I think of all the special meetings and the conferences that have happened here. All right. Living free, jumping lady. Right. Woohoo. Right. The lady would not be of jumping so high at the old building. OK, so literally half of those ladies could have fit into the old building. All right. This year, I don't know how many people were helped and set free and a process got started from abuse in their past. Amazing, amazing. Hundreds of women. Imagine telling 200 women, oh, sorry, go away. Go away with your hurt and go with your wounds because we just don't have space for you. No, a generation said, we're going to do this and we're going to make a space for God to move. When we think about Miracle Life hosting Global Leadership Summit and 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 leaders in this room from all different walks of life, denominations, incredible stuff happening. Never would have happened at the old building. OK, and so here's the thing. I truly believe in 10 years from now, we're going to say, "Woo! We had no idea what God had us to do to build this next phase of where we're going." All right. So God has amazing things for us to do. And God's always about taking people from here to there. It's really an incredible theme of the New Testament when it comes to our maturity, when it comes to us growing into the image of Jesus, is that you can't stay where you are right now. There's more to go. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Tell your neighbor, go forward. Philippians 3:12. Not, and this is Paul, so he is certainly someone who has very, very much grown and matured in his faith. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I do it. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. Which direction? Forward. To those things which are ahead. Oh, I'm so glad there are things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this is about becoming the person that God wants us to be. Let me read it to you from the Message Bible. I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have made it. But I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wonderfully reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert on all this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. Oh, don't you love that mindset? Don't you love that mindset? So that is really the life of every believer as we grow and go forward in the things of God, becoming like Jesus. And really it's a mindset. It's an attitude that should permeate our life. All right. So our life, our church life has something to press on towards. All right. And it's the call that we have to reach generations. And I really believe that in my short lifetime of looking at churches and being involved in different churches, that God favors certain congregations and he favors them and he assigns them some special things in a sense. And so they are just wired to do certain things well. And I think we should all do the scriptural mandates, but there's just something that God has for certain churches to do. And here at Miracle Life, God has favored us to reach children and youth and young people. There really isn't this master designed strategy that's sitting in a secret office somewhere. All right. It has naturally happened during the life of our church. I think it's because of certainly our values and certain things that we put forward and do that. But it means we have to do it. It means that God has not done this by accident for us. All right. And so what this means is that these buildings that we're building, they are not monuments. They are not something for us to brag about. All they are tools. They're tools. Some of you work in a job that the tools that you have are vital to do your job. I was talking to somebody I went to Bible school with recently, and he's now a medical doctor, and he works on hearts and surgery. And he said, the tools that I have, I can do my job so at so many different levels higher than, say, 50 years ago when people were literally just kind of doing it by hand. All right. He said, I can't tell you. And he said, I'm pretty good at what I do. But these tools, this equipment that I have, it's a game changer for me. All right. And there's many, many of you, the job that you have to do, you have to have certain tools to get the job done. All right. I know our churches, we've got lots and lots of accountants, don't we? How many accountants are in the house for Jesus? And I know you're not the most vocal people here. All right. Lots of accountants. Well, wouldn't it be sad, you know, if you were an accountant and you still had these giant paper ledger books, cash, 200, cash, 12. That's not the greatest tool to use these days, is it? You've got high-powered software that just does stuff and cranks out numbers. And really, you just can't do it with paper. All right, you could try, and it just you wouldn't be able to do it the way you're doing it. All right, and that's all these buildings are. They're a tool to help us do what God has asked us to do. Tools for what we can do inside of those spaces. All right, let's get back to the children of Israel. Fast forward decades. So they haven't even gotten to the Red Sea, and they're complaining, they're whining, they want to go back. Well, certainly all the miracles of manna and the miracles of deliverance and God on a mountain and God in a tabernacle, surely they would have gotten the message eventually that God is with us and our future is before us and we're almost to the promised land. No, no, no. Go all the way to Numbers 14. So this is literally decades later. Oh, my goodness, the things that they've seen, the manna that they've tasted. All right. And so they're literally about to go into the promised land. The 12 spies go in. 10 of them are freaked out because of the size of the people, the giants. And they just come back with what the Bible says, an evil report. Evil, not negative, evil. All right. And they say, we can't do it. So the word gets out. People are crying. And then they come to a conclusion. Conclusion, Numbers 14, 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what you said decades ago. You said that in Exodus 14. Yep, they said this and they keep saying it. If only we have died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and children should become victims. Would it be not better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. The anti-Exodus. And this is where God said, and he had said it before. He says, okay, Moses, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to start with you. No, 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 God, no, no, you don't want to do that. You told me back in Exodus 34 that you're a God of mercy. And I'm telling you, you're a God of mercy. God, please be merciful. And God says, okay, I'll be merciful. I won't kill them. But then he makes this declaration. I will not let them in. I will not let their contaminated hearts go into the promised land. They're all going to have to die except Joshua and Caleb. And it will be another generation that crosses in. Look at Numbers 14:23. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. When they said, let's go back, God said, that is a personal rejection of me. All right. So somebody on our campaign team, Mina Makumba, who's on this, also on our staff, and she has a real interest for next generation ministry. She and her husband and Donjay been at the church longer than we have, and they've got 6 kids. So they really believe in the next generation of Miracle Life. Okay. Had supper with their firstborn in Daniel at ORU. He's a sophomore. I can't remember. Anyway, he's doing great at Oral Roberts University. So she came and saw me. She said, Pastor, you know, in thinking about this story of the wilderness, and she made this really astute observation, is that God wanted both generations to go into the promised land. That was his will, was for all of them, multiple generations to go in. And the generation that went into the promised land went in without elders. They went in without their fathers. They went in without the people who should have been in their life. Now, God did it, but that wasn't what he had stated. He wanted to have happened. All right. And so I believe that folks at Miracle Life, boy, we've got multiple generations. And it's wonderful. God wants us all to go in together. He wants us to go in together. He, you know, when Impact Youth finishes their pledge, it's coming real soon, only 23%, right? When the kids finish their pledge, I don't want them to have to turn to the adults and say, what are you doing at 38%, Mom? Yeah. Hey, Dad, why are you at 42%? We got to go in together. And right now they're running faster than we are. Okay, because it's about 55 degrees in those tents. They are very motivated to leave those tents. Okay. So God wants all the generations to cross the Jordan together. Amen. And I believe we can. I believe we will. And faith is about taking steps. So it's trusting God, taking steps. Now, something was in Pastor Haley's heart regarding this is that, you know, what we just saw over the last 3 weeks was that God has a plan biblically for us to what? Love one another. Who's that? Believers. Believers in proximity. Okay. So we love one another. And so this is, in a sense, our family responsibility. But that love one another is also, you could say, with the eye of faith. The eye of faith. If you've ever had children, how many of you know that before the child arrives, the child is in the womb, but you start buying stuff, don't you? You start preparing for someone who is coming. All right. And boy, I knew a family in South Africa, Pastor Ray and Lindy McCauley. They were not, the doctor said, can't have kids. Yeah, he had taken drugs, lifting weights and all that kind of stuff. You'd never be able to have kids. So they built got a whole room ready in their home for their baby, even though the doctor said you'll never have a baby. Well, then baby Joshua came along. Little baby Joshua is now a leading pastor on the East Rand of South Africa, of Johannesburg, just blowing and going, doing the work of God, just moved into a brand new building. Incredible. Wonderful. Well, the doctor said so. Well, thank God for what the doctors know. All right. But they have a medical perspective, a scientific perspective. So, so thankful for what they have. May we have hundreds and thousands more great, great miracle life doctors. Amen. Doing the will of God. But they will all tell you, we can't do God's work. He's the great physician. We're the okay physician. All right. All right. So we're going to go forward. One, because we love one another, but we're making space for those whom we love by faith. By faith. And the kids who are coming and the students that will be arriving to Raymond, the other churches that will be raised up. And so we're going to do that by faith. And faith is always action, action, action. So it's our responsibility. You may have heard somebody say this, that the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time to plant a tree, today. Today. All right. Now, I don't believe we're 20 years behind. Thank God. All right. But it does mean there's action for today because you expect fruit and what God wants to happen in the future. So while these buildings in no way, I don't believe God wants them to be monuments. But you know what they can be? And this is what I think is so awesome. These buildings can be a memorial. So you remember the children of Israel, they're wandering around. And so there's miracle here, there's miracle here, there's the hand of God here. And so what God did very often is he'd say, okay, stop, everybody stop. Okay, get some rocks. Remember they did that on the other side of the Jordan. So get these rocks, build a memorial, okay? And so it's not real fancy or anything, it's just rocks, all right? But here was the purpose. When you see these rocks, you will tell your children what God did. You will tell your children what God did. I was with a local bishop here and spoke at his conference, I think last Sunday afternoon. Wonderful man of God. And he came by. Pastor Gondwani took him and his son through the building, the campus and everything. And it really blessed him. And they have just a big heart for people and they're building and they're expanding. God's given them land and everything. It's wonderful. And he kept asking me, he says, Pastor, he said, I just have a hard time believing that Zambians built this building. I have a hard time believing that. He said, the word on the street How many know there's words on the street, right? He said, among pastors, the words on the street is that Pastor Newberry left and he went back to America and, you know, loaded up truckloads of money, you know, to build this building. I said, well, that didn't happen. You can ask anybody here. You can ask the finance people, the board members. That didn't happen. And I said, 97% of the money, 97, just came from people at church giving money. People at church giving money. Largest gift, 4%. That's what happened. He's just scratching his head. Right? Now, see, these buildings can be a memorial, and what they're going to scream to future generations is, you can do this. You can do this. It's possible. It's possible. All right. How many of you know this Kenyan just broke the record, went sub 2 hours in the marathon? You saw that, right? Well, guess what? He's not going to be the last. He's not going to be the last. Because now it happened like that with the 4-minute mile. You know, it was people, doctors said it was physically impossible for someone to run the mile in 4 minutes. Okay. And now kids at secondary schools do it. Okay. Because Roger Bannister said, no, I think somebody can do this. And then everybody started doing it. All right. But again, somebody's got to go first, right? All right. We're not necessarily first, but I believe for our generation, it's a wonderful memorial. Now, this is not spiritual. We didn't plan it anything. But it is kind of cool. You know, at the front of our church, in the chapel, it'll be back there. We have these stacked rocks, right? I think they're called Kasama rocks, all right? And so those are rocks. That'll be a testimony, a memorial of what God can do through a people who are yielded to him. All right. So what can we do? We can't go back. There's not what God had. We can't stay here. We're going to go forward. So what kind of decisions? And obviously, this is a family message today. Those of you who are the 1,286 folks and families that are part of this. So here's a few thoughts that we can do in the next 10 months. Number one, prioritize. Prioritize. What is important? Prioritize. We do this with our time, don't we? We vote with our time all every day, every week, every month, of what is more vital than something else. All right. And if your priorities are aligned with God and his word and his plan, then you can see some wonderful progression in your life. OK, if your top priority is playing FIFA, you're not going anywhere in life. OK, if that's your top priority. OK. So prioritize your money. Prioritize what's and here's the thing. All these things of what I'm about to say, you've already done it. You are already doing it. OK, so prioritize what's important. All right. Now, are these buildings the most important thing in your life? No, probably not. But they need to be up there, don't they? OK, I would say they need to be higher for some than where they are. So make some adjustments in your priorities. Number two, sacrifice. All right. And really, sacrifice is what it has to do with. It comes right out of priorities. It's about what we value. It's about what we value. All right. And when we're sacrificing, OK. And there are people sometimes they'll sacrifice days and months of their life, OK, because of something that is important. And you've already made sacrifices for family and for future and different things to say, you know what? I'm going to say no to that so I can say yes to something important. All right. Well, I believe that generations at Miracle Life, I think that's a worthy sacrifice. I really do. I think that's a worthy sacrifice. All right. You going into debt to pay for a wedding reception for people that you don't know, that's a really foolish sacrifice. Makes no sense. Right? You're sacrificing for sure. For what? For what? So people that you don't know at all can eat a meal? Well, they're going to eat somewhere else that night anyway. So hallelujah. Right? So sacrifice. All right. Number three, we see this in the Bible. It's already happened here with this campaign. You can convert stuff into cash. All right. So in the Bible, people had land. They said, I'm going to help the church with that. And so people are doing that. You don't have to do that, but that's an option. And God may help you to realize, that thing can be preaching the gospel for decades and decades to come. All right. And I want to do that. And then lastly, and probably should have been first, is trust God. Trust God. Trust God. All right. Yeah. Pastor Selma mentioned 2 Corinthians 9. And in that passage, it says that he, God, gives grace. So there is grace in the area of our finances and our giving. That means it comes from him. It's outside of ourself. So we can trust him for grace. And the Bible says, makes this promise. He gives bread for eating, because he's a good father. Remember, he doesn't give you a stone. Bread for eating and seed for sowing. He can do both. So if right now you're saying, well, Pastor, I'd love to be able to sacrifice. I can't sacrifice what's not there. OK, it's physically not even an option. All right. I get that. And certainly we've been there, too. Then say, all right, God, I don't think you put this in my heart just for any old reason. But Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you for my family and for what I need to do to be responsible. And Lord, I'm also trusting you to help you do your thing, our thing, our church's mandate on planet Earth. Amen. So we can prioritize, we can sacrifice, we can convert stuff, and we can trust God for his supply. Amen. So I hope that in the next few weeks, and I know sometimes we get nervous when we talk about money, especially our money. We don't get nervous talking about somebody else's money, do we? Right. But when it's our money, it's getting nervous. All right. And at Miracle Life, I hope you've been here long enough to understand we are zero tolerance for manipulation, zero tolerance for an emotional pull or to try to get you to do something against your will. But we are very, very high on biblical vision. Okay. About let's hook up with God. Let's let him stir our hearts for what he wants to do through our life. And just like right now, in the next few days and weeks, there are going to be people who are going to be eating roller meal, Capenta, beans, sugar. They're going to have a meal instead of digging for roots. Why? Because we decided to sacrifice. We decided to do something. Right? And so we can just keep making those kinds of decisions for the rest of our life. Amen. All right. Let's pray. And we're going to have some other times of prayer during this time. But let's pray for us. All right. I would ask you also, just pray for your church. Pray for your family. Pray for those brothers and sisters that you know, if you're in a connection group, let's ask God to do what we can't do just through human capacity. Father, we're so thankful for your word that instructs us and guides us. And Father, when we see the children of Israel wandering around and rejecting you and doubting, Lord, it is so sad. But Lord, we are so thankful that we don't have to be that way. We don't have to be like them. But Lord, it's a warning that we could be. We could be. We don't want to be. And we need you. We need your help. We need you to move in our heart. Father, I realize that in this auditorium, Lord, as we're talking about vision and what you want to do and reaching generations. Lord, I know that there are people in this auditorium that, Lord, perhaps they lost their job. They're looking for a job. Father, perhaps their business has been affected. God, I know there are people in this room that their ability to earn money has been directly affected by load shedding. Lord, something they can't change that, God. And so, Lord, we look to you because you're good, because you're good. And Father, we pray that, Lord, what you said in 2 Corinthians 9:8, that you have grace that is available, that every need can be met consistently. And Father, that there would be extra so that we can be ready to give to every, not just one, but every good work. Lord, we thank you that you have grace. And so, Father, we receive your grace. We receive your wisdom. Lord, speak to hearts and help us to do finances your way biblically. Lord, where we are missing it, and if we are, Lord, we are so thankful to hear correction and rebuke from you, from your word. Help us see it. And Lord, move in our hearts. Move in our hearts. And Lord, thank you that we align our hearts and our money, our decisions. Lord, I pray for this, Lord, that it wouldn't be just about these buildings, but Lord, there would be adjustments that would happen in us that would last forever. They would last until we die, God. That you're going to use this to help us to see things and to act in a different way. Lord, we love you so much. We bless you. Thank you for this incredible group of people. These called out ones, this group of people, the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus, Lord, that will fully obey you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed. And I know this was very, very much a believer's message. And it's about us doing the will of God. But I'm also aware that you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not in the family of God. Not that I'm a part of this church or not, but that I've not left the kingdom of darkness and have come into the kingdom of light. You see, there really, really are only two groups in the world. There's people who are under the Father's care, and he is their spiritual father, and he gives them life and guidance, and you are in the family of God, or you're not, and God's not your father. But here's the wonderful news, is that Jesus died for you. Jesus died, and as many as receive Jesus, God gives those people who receive Jesus the power to become the children of God. You see that? You can't do that on your own. You need a power from the outside. Jesus put it this way, you have to be born again. And that doesn't happen from something that, in a sense, you can create or muster up. You have to receive a gift. You have to receive a gift. I believe, according to the Bible, right now, God the Holy Spirit is convicting, convincing, speaking to hearts right now. If you don't know Jesus, he's working on the inside, saying, you need to say yes to Jesus. You need to receive him as Savior and Lord. You need to turn away from your sins. You need to follow Jesus. He's talking to you right now, saying that. If you're a Christian, but you've fallen away, you've turned your back on God. We see that prodigal son. We see that warnings many places in the Bible. Here's God's word to you today. Come home. Come back. Come back to a father who loves you, a father who will cleanse and help and restore you. Well, how do I do that? You believe something in your heart and then you proclaim it with your mouth. That's what the Bible says. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. So I'd like to pray with you today. I'd like to pray with you and really just be a facilitator of what you're going to be doing with God. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I need to be born again. I need to come home. I'm a Christian who's my life is messed up. And I need to repent and come to Jesus. I'd like to pray with you. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Nobody's looking around. Count of three, and then we're going to pray. All right, ready? One, two, three. Just lift up your hand all over this altar. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for that decision. Thank you. Thank you. Over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody over here? Over here. See, I resisted God for years. Oh, so foolish. So foolish. Don't resist God. Don't resist God today. Just say yes to him. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Anybody else? Thank you. All right. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand or you thinking I should have, just grab your Bible, whatever you brought to church with you, and just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together, and God is going to transform your life forever. Amen. Can we give these folks a hand clap as they're coming? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for saying yes today. Thank you for saying yes today. Bless you so much. God bless you. Thank you for coming. All right. Now, if this Bible was a gift, yeah, you would just, that's how we receive gifts. So God has a gift of love, of mercy, of forgiveness that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. So we didn't make any payment towards it. So it's a pure gift. So why don't we just reach out one of our hands towards heaven as a sign that we're receiving this wonderful gift from Him. Let's pray these words from your heart. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that You love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He received all of my sin, and He made a full payment for all of my sin. I believe that. I believe You raised Him from the dead. Jesus sits at Your right hand. Jesus, I trust You. You are now my Lord. You are my Savior. I repent of my sin. I turn my back on every wrong thing, and I follow You today for the rest of my life. Thank You, Jesus. I love You. I'm in Your family now. In Your name I pray. Amen.